Well, the NHL draft is over with, and despite the fact the Edmonton Oilers only had 4 picks in the draft, they still made headlines on day 1 and on day 2. We will go over that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. Oh, what a draft 2 days it was. Even though the second, third, and fourth rounds were pretty quiet for the Edmonton Oilers, we got some news on day 2 to talk about, some speculation as well that we will talk about in a little bit that might include certain Finn. We will get into that in a little bit. Plus, the Edmonton Oilers drafted Reid Schaefer in the first round with the final pick of the first round. How did the Oilers get that pick and who is Reid Schaefer? Well, we'll get into a little bit more on Reid Schaefer in just a second. Plus, yes, we will go over the second round or the second day picks of the Edmonton Oilers in a little bit as well. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, I am just checking my phone here as yes, the draft is over, but I'm just making sure that any picks that the Oilers do make or could have made do come in a little later. That's okay. But yes, the Edmonton Oilers picked Reid Schaefer late in the first round yesterday with their 32nd pick. In fact, they flipped the 29th and the 32nd pick with the Arizona Coyotes. Let's get into that right now. That was the trade, not really of the night, but it was for the Edmonton Oilers as they went on to send Zach Cassian as well to the Arizona Coyotes, along with a third round pick in 2024 and a second round pick in 2025. Now, I know that sounds like it's a lot and kind of maybe. We'll get into more of the specifics of the trade there. But that was the trade. That is how the Edmonton Oilers got the 32nd pick. And obviously, the Edmonton Oilers felt like they could get Reid Schaefer at 32. And that's what ended up happening. Obviously, as well, if you were following along on Twitter, on my Twitter, at TheRealHolden40, each pick that went past after 25, Brad Lambert was still there. Jagr Furkus was still there. And Reid Schaefer. Now it got down to the Edmonton Oilers at 32. And they had their pick between Reid Schaefer and Jagr Furkus. Obviously, the Oilers ended up going with Reid Schaefer, the local product from Spruce Grove, as he clarified with Tony Brar, on Oilers TV, as a very solid prospect for the Edmonton Oilers. If you've been following along with our conversations about Reid Schaefer over the last couple of weeks, he's a guy not only that the Edmonton Oilers have liked, not only that I have liked, but has really kind of grown over the last couple of weeks, months really, since the playoffs of the WHL on a lot of draft boards. Well, the Edmonton Oilers do get him at 32. So what does he bring? Well, last season, if you haven't heard of what Reid Schaefer has done, 66 games played, 32 goals, 26 assists, 58 points for the kid. Now, the season before, those stats are a little shocking. The season before, he had 18 games played, no goals, 2 assists, 2 points. Now he comes back after an offseason, and he comes back and scores 32 goals. In fact, one season ticket holder of the Seattle Thunderbirds said, I would just be happy and lucky and content with 20 points from Reid Schaefer. Well, Reid Schaefer must have taken that to heart and said, oh yeah, watch this. And he came out and scored 32 goals last season. Not only that, but he came out and really enforced his physical presence. as he said, to be honest with you, after reading a whole bunch of stuff that Reed Schaefer has said, listening to him talk after the draft, Wayne Gretzky gave him a call, and you could tell the moment he realized who it was, just the childhood dreams and memories just all flooding to him there. It's really cool to be able to see a guy like Reed Schaefer get picked. Like I mentioned, he's a local boy, but he's 6'3". Off the top of my head, I believe he's 214 pounds. Right now, realistically, he's only 18 years old. He could still get bigger. He may end up at a 6'4", 6'5", 220, 225. The thing about Reed Schaefer, too, is that he's a very strong skater, and he takes pride in being a good skater, despite his size, as well as he takes pride in winning the puck battles, winning the ugly, greasy plays. He takes pride in that. A lot of Edmonton, the Oilers haven't had a guy like that in a little while. And realistically, the last time the Oilers got, not realistically, but a guy that's kind of similar was a Zach Cassian who was in his prime. Remember, I say Zach Cassian in his prime as in Zach Cassian when he was scoring in the playoffs. Obviously, the last couple of seasons haven't been too great, and that's not what I would compare Reed Schaefer to. And Reed Schaefer, I would also say, wouldn't say he's like a Zach Cassian. The thing about Reed Schaefer is, like he said to Tony Brar on Oilers TV, that second R gets lost when I say that. He said to Tony Brar, he said, one of my favorite Oilers growing up was Sean Horkoff. Yeah, Sean Horkoff. Now, all things granted for an Edmonton Oilers fan growing up, he was born in 2004, 2003, I believe, and that's the draft year, or draft years, I should say, for this year's draft. The Edmonton Oilers weren't very good from 2000, well, from basically when he started watching hockey to about 2015. So there weren't a lot of Edmonton Oilers for him to look up to, Sean Horkoff. And the reason why he says Sean Horkoff was the guy that he looked up to was because he did all the right things in both ends of the ice. He's an 18-year-old who realizes that he's not Connor McDavid. He's not Leon Draisaitl. And he's not going to produce at a clip like those guys. He's Reed Schaefer, and he's going to play like Reed Schaefer. He's going to play in his own end. He's going to play in the neutral zone, and he's going to play in the offensive zone just as effectively in all three zones. That's the type of guy the Edmonton Oilers need. Now, is he going to join the league or join the team next year? No, absolutely not. But like Ken Holland said, now becomes the process of turning him into an Edmonton Oiler. That is all this is, especially when you're picking basically after 15, 16, probably in the 20s. Those aren't guys that are going to jump into your lineup right away. They're projects, most of them, kind of, ish. So now it's now time to turn him into an Edmonton Oiler. The last thing I want to mention about Reed Schaefer, I've already mentioned his mentality, but here's what he said about playing in Seattle. Because with Seattle, he was playing with the 7th overall pick in Kevin Korchinski and some very, very, very impressive hockey players, including Siona as well. He's I believe he's an Edmonton boy as well, but he said that, I have played with these skilled guys. All I have to do is get open, use my size, and use my shot to my advantage, and we will be successful. He has contributed to the team's success with his physicality and with his skill. He is a well-rounded player. It's just time to turn him into an Edmonton Oiler. As I mentioned, he did play in the, he is from Spruce Grove. He did play in the AJHL for Spruce Grove a couple years, once during the COVID year, once just before he went into the WHL. Local boy with some grit, AJ Kidd, kind of similar to a Dylan Holloway. He's not like Dylan Holloway, but he kind of similar career path, not really, I guess, but local-ish Alberta boy, AJHL, knows the Western hockey type of Western type of hockey, I guess, type of play, and respects it and plays it well. So Reed Schaefer, the Edmonton Oilers' first-round pick, but that wasn't the only pick the Edmonton Oilers made. They made three more picks in today's draft on Friday on day two. picks. What were they? They were 158, 190, and 222. So who are they and what do they bring? We will get into that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news. My buddies are down in Seattle right now, and I told them to use BetOnline as they're watching the Toronto Blue Jays probably lose to the Seattle Mariners as they got pumped last night. Hey, why not win a couple bucks if the Edmonton Oilers, if the Toronto Blue Jays are losing? You're in Seattle, extra spending money. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including betting, esports, scores, and much more. Plus, BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, stats, podcast news this season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Also, I wonder if BetOnline has FC Edmonton and Canadian Premier League matches. Because FC Edmonton plays tomorrow, 2 p.m. I'm not pumping them at all, but hey, Edmonton sports. Hey, I know if you're a sports fan, you're kind of bored right now going, what do I want to go see? Edmonton Riverhawks are playing, Edmonton Stingers, FC Edmonton, excuse me. I wonder if BetOnline has any of those stats there. Going to take a look after. Anyways, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. As I reach over for my stats, of the three guys the Edmonton Oilers selected in this year's, day two of the NHL draft, is the Edmonton Oilers didn't have a pick in the first round, or in the second round, excuse me, in the third round, or in the fourth round. So the Edmonton Oilers only had picks in the fifth, sixth, and seventh. So who do they pick? The thing is that when you're picking that late and you only have four picks, you better make the most of them in either one way or the other. You're going to have a plan, or you better have a plan with the guys that you pick. Well, the Edmonton Oilers, the first pick that they made today, they selected a goalie. Yes, the Oilers have a prospect in net again. Wow, what a concept that is, eh? With the 148th pick, the Edmonton Oilers picked Samuel Janssen. I assume it's a silent J because he's Swedish. Yes, the Edmonton Oilers selected a 6'5", 201-pound goaltender out of Sweden. I like it. I dig it. But you take a look at his numbers, and when you initially take a look at them for Brynäs in Sweden, they aren't that appealing. 9 wins, 20 losses for Brynäs last year, and posted an .833 save percentage and a 3.25 goals against. Now, the interesting thing is as Tony Barrar tweeted after the Edmonton Oilers picked, both Hockey DB and Elite Prospects have different stats on him, or a biography, I guess, on him. Hockey DB has him at like 6 feet, 150 pounds, and then Elite Prospects has him at 6'5", 201. And then you get into the stats. Well, one of the replies to Tony Brar's tweet was, yes, but you have to take a look at the season before, because Brynäs was one of the worst teams in Swedish hockey last year in the Junior Swedish Hockey League, fourth worst in the league. It's tough to put up good numbers as a goaltender on a bad team. I mean, just take a look at Ty Brennan, who throughout the season on a very tough, not very great Prince George team, put up an 899, excuse me, save percentage, and then in the playoffs went on to have a 954. Save percentage. So you can see kind of the balance there between a really bad team and then the sample size. So the year before, because again, this is similar to Ty Brennan, where the year before he only played a certain amount of games in the year before, but 3-0-0 in those games that were, I believe they were cut short because of COVID, 0.939 save percentage for Janssen at the time, and a 1.67 goals against in 2020-2021. The interesting thing is, as well, for Janssen, is he's heading to Rögle in, I believe it's also in Sweden as well. If you know anything about Rögle's logo, It's basically the Edmonton Oilers logo just in green. So basically wearing the Edmonton Oilers crest on his shirt already heading into next season. But yes, we'll have to work on those numbers, but he's on a better team, evidently. I wonder if Rogel saw what the Edmonton Oilers saw, kind of, that, hey, he's playing on a bad team. Those numbers don't necessarily reflect his play. The tough part is, once again, there's not a lot of film available for the Swedish Junior Hockey League. You really have to dig deep for things like that. So we shall see how he develops over the years. Well, this year specifically, this will be the most, not important few months for Arjansson, but it is very interesting for Edmonton Oilers fans because it will be their first exposure to Johnson this year. So Samuel Johnson, the Edmonton Oilers' second pick in the fifth round, well, first pick in the fifth round, but the second pick in the NHL draft at 158. Then the Edmonton Oilers picked again at 190. And the Edmonton Oilers got a defenseman, a Russian defenseman, Nikita Yaseyov is his name, I believe. Hopefully I'm saying it right. A guy that, honestly, I haven't had a lot of exposure to. I normally have a lot of, I normally go about 200 prospects deep into this year's, or into each draft. This year I couldn't, unfortunately. But Nikita Yaseyev, a random kind of, not really a name that a lot of people have talked about recently, at least that I've seen. But 37 games played for Yaseyev in the VHL, which is essentially the AHL version of the KHL or in Russia. 37 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points for him for Bars Kazan over there. Again, that's in the AHL of the KHL. So he's playing against men. He's playing professional hockey. He has that experience already. Then he also played in the MHL, which is the equivalent to the CHL here in Canada. 14 games played down there, 1 goal, 6 assists, 7 points, and 43 penalty minutes. So he really, with guys around his own age, he's kind of a meanie. Yeah, I know a lot of people are saying, do you really just call him a meanie? But yeah, 14 games played, 43 penalty minutes in the MHL for Yaseyev. Okay, I dig it. He stands 6'1", 187 pounds. The Edmonton Oilers like his size and like the fact that he's a left-shot defenseman or left-handed defenseman. Sure, why not? Let's see how he pans out. Another guy that a lot of Oilers fans will have a new exposure on this year. We shall see also, because I believe off the top of my head he's going to play in the KHL next year. So a guy who will probably be down the road. We know some of the issues that are going on over there right now. So the Edmonton Oilers taking a flyer on the guy, potentially somebody down the road who the Edmonton Oilers might be able to pick up and bring into the big squad down the road. But that's a massive maybe. And then the Edmonton Oilers' final pick of the draft, and one of the final picks of the draft in general, was at 222. And the Edmonton Oilers went with an overager and a guy who... You take a look at him initially and you go, oh, okay, decent. He's 20 years old. He's 6'2". He's 6'2", so he's a big boy. He's over 200 pounds, I believe, off the top of my head as well. So he's a big boy. He's 20 years old. He's already rather developed. But the interesting thing about him is he played for Sioux Falls in the USHL. He played 52 games there. Then once his season ended, he went to university. Now, that's not weird. But the university that he went to is the University of Vermont. Now, the Edmonton Oilers have another guy currently at the University of Vermont, and that's Luka Munsenberger, a guy that a lot of people when the Oilers picked him last year, they went, who's this guy? Then you saw him at the World Junior Championship, scored a beautiful goal for the Germans in their first game. And then a lot of people started going, oh, okay, this guy's not bad. He's very solid defensively, a great skater. I love the way that he really shuts down the other team. And that's a really good system over in Vermont. Now, Dole Mata is not going to be a guy that the Edmonton Oilers bring in tomorrow. That's obvious. He's not going to be a guy the Edmonton Oilers bring in next year or the year after. He's going to be a guy the Edmonton Oilers bring in 3+ years from now. So why is that interesting to me? Because, as I said, the Oilers already have Luka Muenzenberger there. They already have set up the roots in Vermont. Now, I'm not saying, oh, the University of Vermont is going to become an Oilers breeding ground. What that means is now he has a familiarity with an Edmonton Oiler right now. Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers see something in the University of Vermont's program that they like, and they have some sort of relationship there. I'll have to dig into that a little more, because that's very odd to me. It's a very odd addition and draft for the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, when you get into the seventh round, sixth round, well, really where the Edmonton Oilers were picking, you are kind of relying more on your scouts who have been watching these guys for a long time. The guys who have familiarity with these guys, or as some people say, it's kind of a you owe it to somebody to make this pick. It sounds like you got to take my buddy, you know, I owe my buddy something, right? It's not really like that. So you do kind of get into those types of circles at this point in the draft. I will be very interested to see how Joel Matta turns out. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, too, this is a seventh round pick. Why does that matter? Well, the Edmonton Oilers are currently potentially looking at a former seventh round pick for their lineup next year. And another guy who went to the college route in Vincent Desharnais. Seventh rounders, especially nowadays, aren't just throwaway picks. These are guys that can really be of value down the road in your organization. So Joel Matta went 222 to the Edmonton Oilers in the draft. As I mentioned, three picks for the Edmonton Oilers today. The first one at 158, Samuel Hjonsson, a 6'5" goaltender out of Sweden, playing for Brynäs last year, going to Rögle now next season. At 190, the Edmonton Oilers pick Nikita Yaseev, a defenseman out of Russia. We'll see him hopefully potentially down the road. We will see how he does this season. And then 222, the Edmonton Oilers pick Joel Matta, potentially Joel Matta, because he's Finnish. So that J might. The Edmonton Oilers might have just picked two guys with silent J's, and I'm all the way here for it. A 20-year-old forward out of Finland, plays in the U.S. The other thing, too, another comparison with Joel Matta, is that he played in the USHL and then went the college route as well. Very similar to Pelle Rassinen, another Finnish player that the Edmonton Oilers picked a couple years ago. A guy who hasn't materialized, but another weird comparison. Alrighty, well, the Edmonton Oilers didn't have a lot of draft picks on day two, but they still made headlines on day two and on day one. And it looks like the Edmonton Oilers might be making headlines potentially this weekend, potentially at the end of the weekend, potentially the start of next week. Who will that be? We will get into some of the moves that the big club has made in just a second. But first, I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers and making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen at the end of this next segment, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on everything NHL, all things NHL, all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world. Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute news, 30-minute NHL podcast, excuse me. I almost said news podcast, but I almost said news because I thought I got some news on my phone right there that relates to what I'm going to talk about. It wasn't, so I apologize, but it's very interesting, the rumors that I'm hearing. I'll push that to the end here because that is a very interesting rumor and some conversation that hasn't exactly sparked yet on social media. We shall see. But first, let's get into the official moves that the Edmonton Oilers have made so far. And that is, well, let's get into the move that happened on Thursday night. The move to trade Zach Cassian to the Arizona Coyotes for that 32nd pick. Now that full pick, or full trade, excuse me, was an interesting one. One that a lot of people have a lot of opinions on. And I'm here to throw some water on that fire. So the full trade was the Edmonton Oilers acquired the 32nd pick in this year's draft in exchange for their 29th overall pick, a third rounder in 2024, a second rounder in 2025, and Zach Kassian. Now that seems like a lot for the 32nd overall pick. I understand. You have to realize Ken Holland has to walk up to an NHL general manager and say, hey, Zach Kassian, he's making about $3.8 million. I know, and that's a lot of money. I get it. I know. Do you want to take it? And every general manager in the league is going to go, no. What? No. Especially not for free. Especially not just for a first round pick. Especially if you're not going to retain any salary in the trade. I'm not going to make this easy on you. I got to run a team as well, says the other general manager to Ken Holland. And that's exactly what happened with the Arizona Coyotes. And basically, if any pick or any other trade would have happened, that's what would have happened. Ken Holland has said he didn't want to buy out Zach Kassian for whatever reason that may have been or reasons that may have been. He didn't want to buy out Zach Kassian. Now, yes, is an extra second round pick in 2025 a little bit? Yeah, it may be a little bit extra. And as Ken Holland said after the trade in his press conference, you know what? It was a little bit of a steep price. But you have to realize that if the Edmonton Oilers weren't going to retain any salary in that trade, then they're going to have to give something up for that entity. The things in trades products and trades, I guess. Everything that is in a trade is there for a reason. That first round pick, the 32nd overall pick for the Arizona Coyotes, was worth the flip of the 29th and Zach Kassian. There you go. There's the worth right there. You could even probably throw in third rounder, from 2024, and you could probably look at it and say, okay, that's rather fair. Then the Oilers throw in the second round pick in 2025. And then people go, oh, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? We got fleeced. Ken Holland got fleeced. No, he didn't. That last pick is in there because the Edmonton Oilers don't want to retain any salary. The Arizona Coyotes went to him and said, you know what, we'll make this deal, but we want the extra pick if you guys aren't going to retain salary. You guys have to give something to get something, and that's what the Edmonton Oilers had to give. Simple as that. The thing as well is that the Edmonton Oilers are in a win-now mode. Win now. That doesn't mean in 2025 when that second rounder is doing TikTok tricks with his stick and posting it out for his buddies to see right now. We aren't the Oklahoma City Barons, we're not the Oklahoma City Thunder, I should say, as the Barons are the former affiliate of the Oilers. The Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA right now are getting draft pick after draft pick after draft pick after draft pick after draft pick. I know it's the NBA, but I'm saying this or relating it to this because the Edmonton Oilers are in a win-now situation. Take a look at even Chicago in the NHL. Obviously they're in the NHL, but compared to the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder, look at all the draft picks they stocked up in trades for Kirby Dach and Alex DeBrincat. A lot. Take a look at how many picks the Colorado Avalanche have. Take a look at when the Colorado Avalanche made their pick this year. Their first pick in the NHL draft this year didn't come until the last pick of the sixth round. And guess what? They just won the Stanley Cup. The Edmonton Oilers are in a win-now mode. And these are the types of moves that need to be made for the Edmonton Oilers to clear that cap space. Now all of a sudden you're sitting there after that trade for Zach Kassian and you're going, with Oscar Klefbom on the LTIR, now we have about $14.4 million in cap space. Oh, and then also today, let's move on to the big news of the day for the Edmonton Oilers and kind of the NHL right now, is that Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, Duncan Keith has retired from the NHL. Now, I do want to say, take a moment and say a massive thank you for Duncan Keith and a massive congratulations to him. What a career. A three-time Stanley Cup winner, two-time Olympic gold medalist, two-time Norris Trophy winner. He's won a Conn Smythe. I mean, the guy, one of the greatest defensemen of this past generation. Over 1,200 games played, I believe it was 1,256, I believe. Off the top of my head, 106 games, over 400 assists, I believe, maybe even 500 assists. I believe he had 464 assists, again, off the top of my head. I don't remember. I erased all the stats naturally. But again, one of the best defensemen of the past generation. He retires. Now the Edmonton Oilers have an extra on top of that 14.4 they just had because of the Oscar Klefbom LTIR and the Cassian trade. Now the Edmonton Oilers have just under $20 million in cap space. Now, you take a look at that and you go, oh, okay, well, the Oilers can re-sign McLeod. They can re-sign Yamamoto. Probably now sign Brett Kulak. Now what? Now what do you have after that? Well, if I'm going to be 100% honest with you, I initially didn't think Evander Kane would re-sign in Edmonton. Hearing a lot of chatter, not necessarily a direct chatter saying he's going to sign, but a lot of the chatter starts to kind of lead towards potentially he might return. Now, the thing about Evander Kane is that if he comes back to Edmonton, he may take a quote-unquote hometown discount. He may. It sounds like he may be asking for upwards of $8 million in free agency in the open market. Is he worth that? That's for a different conversation. But the name I haven't mentioned yet is Jesse Puljujärvi. I'm saving this for last because this isn't, these are still in the preliminary talks, but what it's starting to sound like is Jesse Puljujärvi is going to be out the door. There has been a lot of chatter of basically upwards of seven teams potentially calling the Oilers on Jesse Puljujärvi's services. I've heard names like Martin Nešas potentially being a return from Carolina. A bunch of different names coming around. How about Connor Brown out of Ottawa? Will it be a one-for-one for Puljujärvi for Brown? I don't know. But I think Jesse Puljujärvi is out the door. And I think. Don't have this confirmed. Obviously, this won't be confirmed until it's out. Obvious or official, I guess. But I think Jesse Puljujärvi will end up getting traded either over the weekend or on Monday to the Ottawa Senators for a guy like Connor Brown. Ottawa's building a young team there. Ottawa's building a very interesting team there. Connor McDavid and one of his best friends or one of his closer friends is Connor Brown. That has been talked about for years. Years the Edmonton Oilers have been linked to Connor Brown because of the Connor McDavid connection. Well, now both teams have a connection there. Could we see it? Honestly, that was something that Ross from Locked On Senators mentioned as well. He posted the question out to the Locked On Senators listeners and said, what would you guys think of a Puljujärvi for Connor Brown? I went out there and said, I don't think so. Could there be more pieces added? Maybe. But I'm going to say I think this will be the last weekend of Jesse Puljujärvi as an Edmonton Oiler. I think he's going to be going to the nation's capital. Alrighty, let's call it there. As I'm sad to even say that because, like I've mentioned before, I wanted Jesse Puljujärvi to be an Edmonton Oiler since he was 16 years old, playing for the Finnish national team with Sebastian Aho and Patrick Laine, and I loved him. I loved him. I screamed. I called my dad when the Columbus Blue Jackets picked Pierre-Luc Dubois. Unfortunately, I think it's the end of a tenure here for him. Massive thank you to Jesse Puljujärvi. But, I mean, he's not gone yet, so maybe he won't get traded. This is just me recording my eulogy just in case. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in today. An exciting draft, even though the Oilers only came out with 4 picks. A local guy in Reed Schaefer, a guy who has always been an Edmonton Oilers fan. Zach Cassian ended up getting sent to the Arizona Coyotes. A guy, hey, no matter how the last few seasons went for Zach Cassian, you'll never forget what he did in that San Jose Sharks series. What a player. What a time that was, too. So thank you to Zach Cassian for his time with the Edmonton Oilers. But that move does clear up cap space for the Oilers, so that's a little exciting. Duncan Keith announces his retirement. Thank you to Duncan Keith for his services and what he's done for the game as well. Clears up another $5.5 million for the Edmonton Oilers, so that's exciting. The Edmonton Oilers are walking out of the draft weekend with a very exciting prospect in Reed Schaefer and $20 million in cap space. That's exciting. Alrighty, we shall call it there. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. It's finally a nice weekend. Nice weather. I cross my fingers as I'm sure I just jinxed that. But I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. And don't do anything I wouldn't do.